Good evening. I welcome you to Vespers this evening. My name is Melinda. I serve as a member of this community and as pastor. You need two things for worship tonight. You need your red hymn book. We'll be singing the hymn out of the day from there. And then the other piece that you need is the unfailing light liturgy. And then you'll have all that you need for worship. I invite you, as you're able, to please stand. And we turn to page 4 in the beginning of the unfailing light service book.
Oh, servants of God, let us sing a praise.
Bless your holy name, O God.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
we bless your holy name, O God.
You lift up the weak and humble.
The grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you anointed your beloved Son to be the Messiah and sovereign forever. Grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united by the glorious and gentle way of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we now hear from our Holy Scriptures.
The first reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 8. All the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us, then, a king to govern us like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to his work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, but we are determined to have a king over us, so that we also may be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from Revelation chapter 1. "Grace to you and peace from the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before God's throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the rulers of the earth. To the one who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a dominion, priests serving his God and Father, to Jesus Christ be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel acclamation is found on page 7 in your worship booklets. I invite you to please stand. Gospel is from the book of John, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate replied, "I am not Jewish, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Judeans. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the Holy Gospel. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So you may be aware that today is the last Sunday in the church year, which means that it is Christ the King Sunday, which means that next week we will begin the new church year with the 4 weeks that lead in through the Advent season to our preparation for Christmas. I struggle with Christ the King Sunday, its themes, and perhaps how we as Christians have abused those themes throughout generations. And so I turn to something that happened to me and my friends who were visiting this past week. I headed out with my friend Ani and her 2 daughters to go get our Christmas tree. About halfway out to the ball field, I notice the 9-year-old Greta doesn't have a jacket on, and she doesn't have any gloves on either. I can only imagine how that conversation went with her mother. "I won't be cold, Mom. I'm fine." Perhaps even begging her mother, "Please don't make me wear a coat." There was a time in Old Testament history when the people of God begged God for something. They had enjoyed sound leadership through God, through servant Samuel, who acted as a judge for some time. And Samuel, who depended upon God for insight and wisdom, led God's people well. But then his sons were beginning to step into leadership, and they were very different from their father. They were known for taking bribes and perverting justice. And so the people began to grumble, and their voices cried out, "We want a king. We want to be like other nations who have kings." They begged Samuel to talk to God. "We want a king." And God's response? "Yeah, I don't really think that's a good idea." Now, I had to laugh when I looked at Greta, knee-deep in the snow and shivering in her little blue zip-down Holden sweatshirt. She was freezing, and I asked her mom, "So what's the deal?" pointing to her cold kid. Well, Ani said she was determined, and she didn't think she needed a coat or gloves. So I thought, let her figure that one out. I think God was tired of waiting for the people to figure it out. You know, figure out how constant God's love is. Figure out how powerful and how forgiving God can be. I mean, from God's perspective, if you've got divine leadership, right, that should be sufficient. If God is with you, do you really need another kind of ruler like a king? If you want someone to lead you, if you want someone to care for you and protect you, isn't that kind of God's thing? But the people keep asking, "We want a king." And I wonder why. I mean, do they defy God's guidance because they don't truly trust it? Do they defy God's wisdom because they have to figure it out on their own? I don't know. I know most kids, like Greta, probably figure they know better. You know, she's 9. She's got it figured out. And I have to say, that little 9-year-old lives and dwells alive and well in me. I have this inner voice that also sounds like, "You're not the boss of me. Reluctant to submit to anyone. We often think things like, 'I got this. I can do it myself, thanks. And you can't make me. Just ask my husband.'" We would rather shiver in the cold if it has to come to that. So God relents. God tells Samuel, "Go ahead. Let them reject me and my leadership, fine. But warn them. Warn them about what's going to happen if they take on an earthly king." So that's exactly what Samuel did. He went and he talked to the people and he said, "Look, an earthly king will take your children to serve in his army and household. A king will demand allegiance and demand that you work as part of his labor force for his own devices," right? The king's going to take 10% of whatever it is that you bring in as income. And a king will keep the best of your property and possessions for himself. "And believe me, you're going to cry out," Samuel warned them, "and you're not going to like it. Trust me." The people didn't care. No, the people shouted. We are determined. That's actually what scripture said. We are determined to have a king over us. And so it came to pass. The child went out into the wintry woods without a coat or gloves, got cold and miserable, and then took it out on the rest of us. And Israel got themselves a king, a number of them, actually, and things pretty much fell apart. So how do we arrive at this annual celebration of Christ the King? Frankly, it presses on all my nonconformist, rule-bending inclinations. I mean, if you were to ask me, I'd tell you, kings are dumb. They make me do stuff I don't want to do. They don't care about me. And they only care about themselves and their power. And if Jesus is king, I don't want any part of it. I'd rather shiver in the woods. Fortunately, God has a sense of humor. In today's gospel, Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answers, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. My kingdom is not here. It's not like the kingdoms that you know and understand." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king?" And Jesus answers, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Think about that. A leader that speaks truth. Now there's a novel idea. That doesn't sound dumb at all, right? And when it comes to making me do something I don't want to do, well, I guess Jesus was king of taking on stuff that we don't want and did it himself on behalf of us. Not ruling by strength or greed, but instead living by weakness and compassion and humility. When it comes to wondering about whether or not Jesus cares for me, Christ's kingship is one of humility and service. Now, I'm not backing down. I do not like the word king. I can't stand it. I don't like the word Lord either, or kingdom. And I definitely don't like how fragile human egos have used the Jesus story to dominate others, because that's just messed up. But I believe that people of faith can come together and start to wrestle with the language that we use for this one who rules so humbly, so beautifully, so brilliantly, so all-invitingly, to make up a word, right? The kind of Jesus that I know needs a different language entirely than perhaps the one we in the church have given him. Because when it comes to Jesus, he has my attention. And I guess I have his attention as well. You know, it's funny. Just when I was about to throttle Greta, because she was out and covered in snow and mad and trying to get us all to go back home fast because she was cold, she was demanding that we all hurry back to the village because she didn't wear a coat and she didn't have gloves and was, you know, complaining. But all of a sudden, the complaining stopped. I thought, well, that's strange. And I turned to look at her and I realized her mom had taken off her own mittens and given them to her cold child. That's love for you, I guess. We continue to worship with ELW number 723. So hymn number 723 in the red books, The Canticle of the Turning. We continue with the prayers, which are found on page 21 in your Unfailing Light booklets.
Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep.
Tend your ailing ones
in your love, Lord.
Rest your weary ones. Dying ones
in your love, O Lord of all. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep.
Soothe your suffering ones
in your love, Lord.
Heal afflicted ones
in your love, Lord.
Shield your joyous ones
in your love, Lord of all. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all
grieving ones
in your love, Lord.
Raise your fallen ones
in your love, Lord.
Mend your broken ones
in your love, Lord of all. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night.
Little ones
in your love, Lord.
Guide your searching ones
in your love, Lord.
Grant us all your peace
in your love, Lord of all. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all
for what else do we pray?
We prayed for the migrants who were fired upon with tear gas today by our border patrol.
In your mercy.
For the families of the Welland.
In your mercy. In your mercy.
For all those suffering from displacement, violence, and future lives and other disasters, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For those who die in
in your mercy. In your mercy. All these prayers we offer up to you, O God, both spoken and left unspoken, but uttered through the tenderness of our own hearts. We ask that you receive our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Also with you.
Let us take a moment to share a word of peace with one another.
Mason, Addie.
Oh,
To return to your seats. There will be an offering basket as you leave. Currently, I misspoke myself on Thanksgiving. There's been so much flooding that I ended up saying the flooding that's happening in California, but it's the fires that are happening in California. So know that 100% of what goes in the offering basket will go to those that are in need and just rebuilding after the fires. So with that, I invite you to turn to page 9. For the gathering of gifts. I invite you to please stand and let us pray. We bless you, O God, gracious and merciful. You bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger, that all may know your care. And prepare us now to feast upon your mercy, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you. Join their unending hymn. Only God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath.
We praise you, O God.
Generations bless your faithfulness through the waters, across the wilderness by night and day, out of exile and into the future.
We bless you, O God.
We give you thanks for your Son, at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, and with us now.
We thank you, O God.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Gift of your Spirit in our gathering, upon this bread, within this cup, and among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, for your mercy, through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit, in your church without end. Gathered around the table by the Holy Spirit, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us and the way that is most life-giving for you to pray. God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. This is Christ's table and not our own. All are welcome to the feast of life. Come, for all has been prepared. You may be seated. Just a note that if you'd like to come forward for a blessing, I just ask that you either have your hands crossed or down at your sides. I know different people commune at different ages, so if you do have kids that want communion, just make sure the hands are out there. The first station will be gluten-free wafers, and then there'll be me with the bread. The next to me will be a chalice where you can either take the bread and dip it, or you can even drink from the chalice if you wish. Otherwise, you can eat the piece of bread or the gluten wafer and then go to cups, and then either wine or juice can be poured for you. And then finally, there's a place to deposit your cups at the end of the line. Our heart is that there be no barriers between you and this meal that Jesus offers us. Please know that he is the host and is he who invites you to come.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. I invite you to turn to page 16 for our post-communion song. Let us pray. Creator of the stars of night, we give you thanks for this gift of life. Increase our faith and open our eyes that we might recognize Jesus in all whom you call us to love and serve. Abide with us as darkness deepens and be our hope and highest joy until at last with all your saints we dwell in your unfailing light. Amen.
Amen.
May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Go in peace, rest in God, rise to serve. Thanks be to God. Amen.